Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is www.dccsa, that's David Charlie Charlie Sam Alpha, .com/ Great Joy, all one word, all small letters, GREATJOY. At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. The identity of the Antichrist is not a major issue. However, God is calling many of us to be people of wisdom, insight, and understanding who would lead many to righteousness in these last days. And you should have this wisdom. You should know. God wants His people to know. So I want to go through the Bible prophecies that give details about the identity of the Antichrist. In mathematics, there's a law of compound probability. Every independent fact of Bible prophecy doubles the odds against an individual fulfilling all the prophecies. There are over 300 messianic prophecies about the true Messiah, Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the odds against anyone fulfilling them are what most mathematicians would consider infinite, beyond infinite. The probability against anyone fulfilling them is 10 to the 39th power. That's 10 with 39 zeros. No one can pronounce such a number. Yet the Messiah has come, did come, and is going to come again. And He did accomplish the impossible by fulfilling all of those prophecies. The one true God, the God of Israel, could overcome such odds against the fulfillment of prophecies regarding the true Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus. Only the true God could accomplish this. Now, I want you to remember as we go through these things that the Antichrist is just another sorry soul bound for hell. But God's people are to know who He is as a sign that you might communicate and have wisdom to lead many to righteousness in these last days. So it is important that you know this. There are also prophecies to identify the false Messiah, the Antichrist. And we will take a look at 34 Bible verses that disclose the identity of the Antichrist. We will look at 57 items of identification. All of the items of identification are not necessarily independent. There are some which may be debated regarding their complete fulfillment. But God's men of wisdom in the last days, according to Revelation 13:18 and Revelation 17:9, are scripturally qualified men of wisdom, called to lead many to righteousness. And you should have these scriptural credentials in this time. As one who has this wisdom from God, who has received the knowledge of the identity of the Antichrist by revelation, either directly or through another servant of God. But this is revelation knowledge from God, and it's not just by study or calculation. Prophets do not listen to men. Yet this is the one secret. Yes, I'm going to say this again. The identity of the Antichrist is the one secret regarding the identity of the Antichrist that the prophets have to be humble enough to be able to receive. There is a man who has fulfilled 36 of these. Now, this does not include the ones that have not been completely fulfilled. And there's nothing indicating that it's not possible for him to fulfill the remaining 21 identity facts. Applying the laws of compound probability, the odds against any man fulfilling 36 Bible prophecies identifying facts, I want you to listen now, are over 17 billion to 1. That's billion with a B. The odds against anyone fulfilling these identity facts given in the scripture that this man has already fulfilled, beyond question, the odds against anyone to do that is over 17 billion to 1. Now, there are only 6 billion people on the planet, so it's time that you know these things. But indeed, the odds right now are over 17 billion to 1 against any man fulfilling the identifying Bible prophecies regarding the identity of the Antichrist that a certain man has already fulfilled. The identity of the Antichrist was revealed to me in 1993 when the Lord opened that riddle of the seven kings to me that's spoken of in Revelation chapter 17, verses 9 through 11. And the first of many whom I have met subsequent to that who knew the identity of the Antichrist was Monte Judah. In 1995, the only two men that seemed to know at that time were Monte Judah and Tim Cohen. Tim and I had many phone conversations as he was writing the benchmark standard book on the subject known as The Antichrist in a Cup of Tea, which he did first present at one of the Messianic congregations which we had planted in Texas. It is sad that most will somehow not know this important sign of the times until the Antichrist gets his mortal head wound by Satan's greatest lying wonder to counterfeit the resurrection of the true Messiah, Yeshua. So let's look at the Word of God, the Bible prophecies that deal with the identity of this person that must be revealed before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, we're going to look at Daniel 7:24. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. He shall rise from among 10 kings, or 10 provinces, or 10 sections of the world. The New World Order has already divided the world into 10 world regions, and soon all nations and national sovereignty will be eliminated. I believe this is fulfilled by the 7 heads being all 7 continents of the earth, all being members of the United Nations. The 10 horns being the 10 regions of the world as divided and administered by the World Trade Organization, and the 7 crowns being the G7, a group of 7 of the most powerful industrial nations on earth, and now it's known as a G8, and I think there's a reason for that. Not that the 8th edition was truly an industrial power in the world, but at any rate, they meet regularly to discuss proposed actions which affect the whole world. Now, I want you to know that the logo, the symbol, the seal of the World Trade Organization even looks like 10 horns. The next scripture I want to look at is Daniel 7:24 with Daniel 7:8. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom the 3 of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. He shall pluck up by the roots. That means to take out, to uproot, or eliminate three of the kings. And as far as the eyes, this Antichrist prince has his own personal central intelligence agency. All of the intelligence agencies of the world are essentially controlled by Jesuits. It doesn't make any difference whether it's the FBI, the CIA, the KGB in Russia, the Bundestag, the Stasi, whatever national intelligence agency it may be, even the Mossad, they are controlled by Jesuits, except for one, the Antichrist prince's own. You see, Great Britain has two central intelligence agencies, MI5, which is the intelligence agency of Great Britain, and MI6, the eyes. And if you recall the James Bond movies, they were actually based on this intelligence organization, MI6. I want to look at Daniel chapter 7, verse 20. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, he is greater than the other 10, perhaps meaning more well known, more popular, and tells the 10 what to do. Not only does he have power, but he has his own intelligence agency, MI6, his eyes. And he speaks very great things. Not defender of the faith, as all of his ancestors were for the last 800 years, but he wants to be defender of faith. And that subtle little difference of the change in his title from defender of the faith to defender of faith means that he wants to defend all faiths on earth from the faith. It's amazing how subtle that really is. Instead of being defender of the faith, very definite article, and when you get right down to it, there is only one real, genuine, true faith, and all the rest that is called faith cannot be faith. But instead of having a title of defender of the faith, he wants to be defender of faith. In other words, he wants to defend all from the faith. And he seeks to have power and influence over all religions. His look is more stout than his fellows, or he was born to be king, the heir apparent. Now look at Daniel 7:25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time, and times, and the dividing of time. He shall be a blasphemer, speaking great words against Yahweh and Yeshua Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be a blasphemer, speaking great words against God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall think to change times and laws. And with the advent of Y2K in the year 2000, we began to see calendars first printed with Monday, not Sunday, being the first day of the week, to obfuscate God's Sabbath. And in Europe today, it's very difficult to find a calendar which still has Sunday as the first day of the week, and the Sabbath, Saturday, as the seventh day of the week. And the Antichrist, according to those verses in Daniel 7:25, shall wear out the saints of the Most High. He is a major proponent of the global ethic, which gave us those wonderful words, not authentically human. What does not authentically human mean? Would it be murder to kill a not authentically human person? What is a not authentically human person? Well, obviously the Jews. and also the Christians who know to stand with the Jews and bless the Jews and protect the Jews and identify with the Jews. People of the book, people who believe the Holy Bible, all of it, from Genesis to Revelation. And of course, Jews are considered not authentically human according to the global ethic. The New World Order system of religion will prohibit only one belief. All other beliefs will be tolerated under the Pope's new global religion of tolerance, but there is one belief which will be prohibited. That prohibited belief is the belief in the Most High, the only one and true God, Yahweh, who may only be known and approached through His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the true Messiah. That belief, true biblical belief, by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, will not be tolerated. He will be in control for 3.5 years. Now, I need to caution you to be aware that oftentimes covert control may be much more effective in building power and control than overt control. And literally, a large fortune is being spent every year to keep his identity as the Antichrist from not being thinkable, even in the minds of most people. Daniel chapter 8, verse 9, "And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. He shall come from the north and west toward Israel." So, if you're in Israel and you look north and west, that's the direction that you should expect to see him. And you see, this is why those who would say that he has to come from Syria, that would mean you're looking east, and that's the wrong direction. Okay? Daniel chapter 8, verse 9. "And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land." In Daniel chapter 8, verse 11, verse 11 of chapter 8, "Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down." He makes himself equal with Messiah. As the Antichrist, or the anti-Messiah, he makes himself out to be the Messiah. He stops the daily sacrifice. Brethren, you have to understand, the scripture is very explicit on this. The one who stops the altar, which will be set up on the place which God Almighty has chosen to place his name, that the apostles, after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, risked their life twice a day, every day, to know, because they knew, and they wanted us to know, how important it is to respect God's oblation altar. No blood of bulls and goats will be placed on that altar. When a temple is to be constructed, the first thing that is done is a cornerstone is set. Then measurements are taken. And as soon as those measurements are taken from the cornerstone, the altar must be set up and operational, the morning and evening oblation. And none of the blood goes on there. But the morning and evening oblation is an affirmation that the Lord Jesus Christ owns the fullness of the earth because he created it and he redeemed it. And of course the Antichrist is not going to like that. Neither are the Adamites wackos. And sadly, most Christians today who believe that they're supposed to be raptured out before anything bad happens are going to literally cheer the Antichrist when he stops those Jews from sacrificing those lambs on the Temple Mount. Never mind the fact that the apostles when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, risked their life literally twice a day, every day, so that we would know better. Never mind the fact that the first apostle to be killed was killed in the temple. The vast majority in the great falling away from the faith will literally cheer the Antichrist instead of being like the Spirit-filled apostles and showing respect for God's oblation altar. But the Scripture is absolutely explicit that the Antichrist will be the one to stop the daily sacrifice. The daily sacrifice of prayer, that morning and evening, by two representative Jews on the Temple Mount, was stopped in mid-March of 1997. You see, since that time, Jews have not been able to go up on the Temple Mount. Now, up until that time, two Jews would go up there and pray every morning. And the Antichrist was likely the man at the top who made the Israeli government stop those two Jews in the morning and evening from praying on the Temple Mount. Daniel chapter 8, verse 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. He will be the world's are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. He will be the world's leading occultist. He will understand dark sayings. Brethren, he is the positional head of all Freemasonry. He's the head of the Order of the Garter. All Satanism worldwide, all occultism worldwide, he is the positional head of it. He will have a fierce countenance. And this fierce countenance, until near the consummation, near the end of it all, he can accomplish his control of the world, the entire world, controlling the entire world covertly, much more effectively as he builds this whole new world order global control system from behind the scenes in a covert manner. He's much more effective covertly than he would be if he were out in the open. But this fierce countenance may be the result of his deadly head wound, the fierce countenance spoken of in Daniel chapter 8, verse 23, which was healed so that he did live and counterfeit the resurrection. And we should not really expect him to be revealed to the world until near the consummation, very near the end, in the latter time of their kingdom, you see, when the transgressors have come to the full, or fairly well all have received that 666 mark biochip, mark of the beast, in their right hand or forehead. And in verse 24 of Daniel chapter 8, and in Daniel chapter 8, verse 24, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and he shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. He will be the most powerful man in the world, and he is already today, and yet not by his own power. He will control the new world order covertly. He will be the man behind the scenes who pulls the strings of the 10 kings of the world. He will be the world's most powerful, albeit covert, occultist, and by far he is the most powerful occultist in the world. He sits atop as positional head of all Satanism and all occultism on planet Earth. He will be the man behind the scenes who brings about World War III, the destruction of America, the Gog-Magog War, and the Russian-led Islamic Confederation's attack on Israel. He shall do all of this behind the scenes, using the United Nations and the Vatican, and he shall do all of this behind the scenes, using the United Nations and the Vatican and other nations to do his bidding. But he remains behind the scenes. He's the one that pulls the strings for all the other puppets. The world will think him a nobody until he gets his mortal head wound and is healed by Satan to counterfeit the resurrection near the consummation. Now, there are people that I consider no problem at all with when they say that no man today knows his identity. I can understand that. Because, you see, God's appointed prophets must receive this truth from the men of wisdom. The men of wisdom know. But the prophet must humble himself to receive that. Now, I believe at this time, all of God's people should know. And shame on anyone who would presume to be a leader of the body of Christ. I feel like they're without excuse for not knowing. But you see, many people have had their minds blinded by this dispensational theology. They don't think that anybody can know until after the rapture. But that is classic circular reasoning. Every verse in the Bible, every single verse in the entire Holy Bible says the rapture occurs at the end. On the last day, the resurrection, the rapture, and the Lord's return is a single simultaneous event. And these men of God are without excuse not to know the identity of the Antichrist. God's men of wisdom and understanding today, according to Revelation 13:18 and Revelation 17:9, do know. And they are the scripturally approved and scripturally credentialed men of wisdom, insight, and understanding, who have received the knowledge of his identity by revelation from God and not from other men necessarily, or study or calculation. And that's certainly how I received it. Nobody else told me. It was 2 years, in fact, before I ran into another human being that knew. And God opened the riddle up. I mean, that's the riddle was sealed. I think, you know, once you see the riddle and understand the riddle, it's very simple. But had God not opened it, there's no way I could have ever figured that out. And yet, when it's opened, of course, it's very simple. Okay, Daniel 8:25, the 25th verse of Daniel chapter 8. And through his policy, again, you see it's talking about the Antichrist, and through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. This is so important that you understand that by peace, the Antichrist working from behind the scenes, by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the Prince of Princes. He's going to be against the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he is the Antichrist, the definite article. But he shall be broken without end. Let me read the verse again without any additions or interruptions. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He also shall stand up against the Prince of Princes, but he shall be broken without end. This, albeit covert, most powerful occultist in the world will cause the craft of Satan to prosper. And we certainly do see that happening today. Any religion other than true biblical Christianity is not the faith by definition. The Luciferians will prosper, controlling all governments and courts, education systems, media. Satan will be worshipped in the Vatican, and according to Dr. Malachi Martin and Archbishop Malingo and some very high-ranking Vatican insiders, the highest occult ceremony in the world was conducted in 1967 called the Enthronement of the Fallen Archangel Lucifer. And that happened in 1967 where Lucifer, Satan, was actually enthroned as the head of the Roman Catholic Church in the Vatican in 1967. The Luciferian agenda of the United Nations will be blatant. And we see it is a blatant Luciferian agenda. Anything that the Word of God says, they want to do a 180-degree change in direction from anything that God says. He will be so magnified in his heart that not even his wife may share his limelight. Even the most desirable among women, the goddess Diana, he was not willing to share his limelight with her. He shall use peace. The UN peacekeeping forces? Oh, how absurd. What an obscene moron. UN peacekeeping forces. But that's what the verse says. He shall use peace, like the UN peacekeeping forces and the UN New World Order, to destroy many. He shall rebel against his title of defender of the faith and stand up against the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, so that he shall declare himself defender of faith, to defend anything but the faith, to defend all faith from the faith, which can save from sin. He shall lead the world against the faith. And under the disguise of peace and safety, he shall destroy more in 1 hour than all the destruction of World War II. And it begins with the insanity of the 7-year peace and safety Oslo Accord, so-called Oslo insanity, now called the roadmap from hell. Look, in strict violation of the British Constitution, his personal attorney drew up those Oslo Accords by peace, the 7-year peace and safety agreement. His personal attorney, Lord Victor Mishkan, drew those up. All right, now let's look at one of the most key verses in the scripture, and I think the specific verse where the Lord Jesus Christ sent us to understand the times. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he spoke of the last days, and he went through a list of signs of the times, they were all general signs except one. There's only one thing in everything that he said in answer to those two questions, when the temple would be destroyed and what would be the sign of that coming and the end of the age. All of them, you've heard them, they're all general signs except one. You've heard the signs, wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, even the gospel being preached to other parts of the world. All these signs are general signs, things that have been going on for 50 years, even Israel becoming a nation over 50 years. But there's one thing you can put your finger on, and that's Matthew 24:15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, let him that reads understand. We've got the book of Daniel. And if you want to go through the whole book of Daniel looking for what the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about, the preeminent verse in Daniel that the Lord referred us to is Daniel 9:27. Here's what it says. Daniel 9:27 says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." Now, some people say that's the Lord Jesus Christ, but this is the Antichrist, the 7-year peace and safety agreement for 1 week. A shiboah is the Hebrew word, a 7-year period. "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations," plural, "he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." From behind the scenes, he shall bring about the 7-year peace and safety agreement, which would be signed by Rabin. And Rabin's name in Hebrew actually means the many one. In Hebrew, Rab, or plural, Rabin or Rabim, either way. God actually put the man of the in the Hebrew in that verse of Daniel 9:27, who would sign that agreement, that 7-year peace and safety agreement, drawn up by the Antichrist prince's attorney. God actually put the man, the name of the man in the Hebrew, of that verse who would sign that 7-year abomination peace and safety agreement for Israel. He would confirm the covenant of death. Read Isaiah 28 about the covenant of death. And it was a covenant of death for Rabin, because Perez had him assassinated, yes, and Perez was behind that murder of his boss, Rabin. Mary Shamish's book proved it, and I would say over 60%, maybe 80% of the people in Israel know that Shimon Peres was behind the murder of Yitzhak Rabin. But the verse says he will confirm the covenant of death. He will confirm the covenant. It's a covenant of death, like in Isaiah 28. By attending Rabin's, the Hebrew word mini, funeral. And if you look at a picture, we've got a picture of it on the website. You see him standing right there in the middle of all those heads of state. He wasn't the head of state, but he had the prime number one position when Rabin's coffin was being carried by. And he will confirm the covenant of death, according to Isaiah 28, by attending Rabin's funeral, to confirm the covenant with the other heads of state gathered at Rabin's funeral. In the middle of the 7 years, the sacrifices of and giving of the land for peace and safety will cease. And really, all of the peace process of Oslo and the Rose Map, you know, regardless of what they say, it basically ended in 1997. Like travail, very few will realize the beginning with the pressures gradually building to the climax at the consummation. See, the intensity and frequency of the travail will continue to increase at some point in the 42 months. Everyone will know that they are in the Great Tribulation, certainly when World War III goes full global strategic nuclear war. Everybody will know then. But sadly, the majority will have probably already received the mark of the beast, that 666 biochip in their right hand or forehead, eternally entering the Antichrist path to hell. Taking the mark of the beast, the identifier biochip required to buy or sell in the right hand or forehead, is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, the sin unto death, from which there is no hope of repentance. Daniel 11:16. But he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him, and he shall stand in the glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed. He shall do according to his own will, and by his plan and use of the 7-year peace and safety agreement, he shall consume Israel. Russia will quit playing along with him and his new world order system. Russia will go against him by destroying America. Be aware that more destruction can be done in 1 hour today with Russia's strategic nuclear capability than in all the years of the entire history of war. Russia then will lead the Islamic Confederation against Israel, and 5 out of 6, that's 83% of all Russia's soldiers, will be destroyed by God himself in the Russian-led invasion of Israel. With both America and Russia destroyed, then the Antichrist will emerge as the world power. Daniel 11:21. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Empowered by Lucifer as the head of all Luciferians, this vile person, probably a homosexual or bisexual, and that's the only reason he probably married Camilla, was to cover his homosexual affairs. Some of them got a little bit out of control, and that brought about finally having his mistress Camilla to be married. But under the guise of peace, becoming king of the New World Order by flatteries, he controls and operates the United Nations, the Vatican. Yeah, he controls them both. He controls the United Nations and the Vatican. He controls the New World Order behind the scenes until the consummation, when he will take on his fierce countenance as the result of his deadly head wound, which was healed so that he did live and counterfeit the resurrection. In his estate shall stand up a vile person. Who was it that set up that vile homosexual murderer terrorist Arafat to get the Nobel Peace Prize? What an abomination. Who was the man behind the scenes who set up the Oslo peace and safety process to give this vile person world prominence? Daniel 11:23, and after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. Empowered by Lucifer, the god of this world, he is the strongest and most powerful man in the world. The New World Order economic, political, and religious system is put together deceitfully from behind the scenes. He controls the small number, approximately 300 Luciferian occultists who control the world's financial, political, and religious systems. And he tells the Pope what to tell the religious and political leaders and the United Nations to do according to his will. All being done deceitfully behind the scenes by a very small number of very powerful Luciferians, global Satanists. Daniel 11:24. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches. Yes, he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. His fathers all bore the title of defender of the faith. He deceitfully uses peace to accomplish more killing than all his fathers, who sought to use war to conquer the world in general and Jerusalem in particular. His fathers sought to take Jerusalem by the wars of the Crusades, and he shall be able to use great wealth. Some estimate as much as $20 trillion to purchase any banker, politician, country. That's T. Trillion with a T. $20 trillion. Most estimate his actual personal net worth to be in excess of $20 trillion. And he can buy any religious leader with that. He can buy any country with that. Anyone not already controlled, he's got more than enough to buy them. But most are already controlled by Lucifer. After Russia destroys America, and God destroys Russia, as she leads the Islamic Confederation against Israel, this Antichrist prince shall become much more overt. Then he will begin coming out of the closet. He will then emerge from his behind-the-scenes control. Only in the final year will the majority know who he really is, even for a time, 1 year. And Daniel 11:31, and arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. That's Daniel 11:31. He shall have the Israeli police stop even two Jews from going to the Temple Mount to pray in the morning and evening. He shall have them place the abomination of desolation at the consummation after his counterfeit resurrection, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. The image will be set up at 1290 days from the start of the Great Tribulation, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. That's Revelation 13, verses 14 and 15. And in Daniel 11:32, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. He shall flatter and influence the religious leaders to all come together with a common faith of tolerance. See, that's going to be the global religion of the Antichrist in the last days, a global religion of tolerance. But there's one thing that won't be tolerated, just what the Muslims won't tolerate, Jews and real Christians who stand with them, people of the book. The only faith which will not be tolerated is to say that your God is better than any other God, or that your God is the only true God. Of course, the Muslims can get away with it because they worship the moon god, Lucifer, Satan, the devil. Or that your God can save you from sin. Have you ever seen anyone so corrupted by flattery, such as once saved, always saved, that they would revile you by calling you a legalist if you should dare to keep the fourth commandment? Well, I imagine that's happened to a number of you. The New World Order religious system will someday likely make it a capital offense, a death penalty offense, if anyone should be caught observing and keeping the fourth commandment. The flattery has never changed. You shall have evolved into godhood. And that's really what the purpose-driven church is all about. The purpose of the purpose-driven church is self-idolatry. The people who do know the real true God through their relationship with Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be strong and do exploits. Hallelujah. Daniel 11:37. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. Even the goddess Diana, the most desirable of women, the desire of women, be like Princess Diana, shall not be regarded by him. He will so magnify himself that he will find it unacceptable and intolerable to share his limelight even with his wife, the most desirable among women. Here is my rather unscholarly translation of Hamna, which is the Strong's Hebrew word 2532, and Ishaya, which is the Strong's Hebrew 802, nor the desire of women, nor the desirable, godly, goodly, pleasant, and precious woman used in the same wide sense as adulterous wife or woman, often unexpressed in English. In no way could I see the Hebrew words indicating that the Antichrist would be a virgin, as some have suggested. He shall abhor the title of his fathers as defender of the faith. He shall be the champion of any faith but and except and other than the faith in the true God who can save from sin. And he shall regard no god. As defender of faith, he shall oppose any defender of the faith. He shall flatter all religious and all religions but and except the faith in the one true God, which he will oppose. And eventually, he shall magnify himself to the point of declaring himself to be the Messiah and declaring himself to be God, causing all that will not worship his image to be killed. And Daniel 11:38, and in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. He shall honor the God of forces whom his fathers did not know as he does. The God of forces is the prince of the power of the air, Lucifer, Satan. His father, since 1533, All of his ancestors since 1533 have not sent gold, silver, and precious stones to the Roman Catholic Pope to acknowledge him as the religious leader of the world. Now expect him, the Antichrist Prince, watch him. Watch him honor the Roman Catholic Pope, and the Vatican shall honor him too. Extraterrestrials, the god of forces, demons, will be honored as gods by him and will recommend his world rulership and godhood in the last year. Daniel 11:39. And he shall do in the most strongholds with a strange god, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. His covert, occult, Luciferian rulership of the New World Order will direct Luciferian economic, political, and religious leaders to eliminate all national sovereignty. And they shall carve the world up into 10 regions for their gain at his direction. Daniel 11:20, a raiser of taxes. And Daniel 11:43, but he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. All paper asset wealth will come under his power and control. This is a done deal. Check out Mondex in the reality check on the website. This is part of what is behind all problems in the world. Not only will there be order out of chaos, but power over the wealth of the world will be accomplished by this new world order computer system. The final software standardization and all hardware is in place to instantly take control and have power over all the wealth in the world. And Zechariah chapter 11, verse 8, three shepherds also will I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me. Three of the 10 Luciferian kings will be taken out in 1 month at his direction. 2 Thessalonians 2:4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that has only one place on earth that that could be. That's got to be on Temple Mount. God said, this is the place where I put my seal of ownership on planet Earth. This is the place where God Almighty has chosen to place his name. That's why you need to keep your eyes on Jerusalem, because it's all going to really start to explode from there. He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. He shall be the champion of any faith but except and other than the faith in the true God who can save from sin. He will go on to the Temple Mount and declare himself to be God. Can you really think of a greater abomination than that? We're told to watch for the abomination of desolation, where the Antichrist will stand in the holy place. That's on the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount. According to Daniel 9:27, Matthew 24:15, we may expect the abomination of desolation, of the Antichrist declaring himself to be God on the Temple Mount and demanding worship as God at the consummation near the end of the 42 months of this great tribulation. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. He is empowered by Satan as the most powerful Luciferian occultist in the world. For at least the first 30 months of this final 42 months, this great power will be exercised covertly behind the scenes. The greatest sign and lying wonder of Satan will be when he counterfeits the resurrection. The Antichrist will recover from his mortal head wound by a satanic miracle near the end, when he will go to the Temple Mount and set up his image and declare himself to be God. 1 John 2:22. Who is the liar? Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. He will deny the Father and the Son as he defends all other faith against the faith which can save from sin. Revelation 13:1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. He comes by way of the sea from an island north and west of Israel. He will control and manipulate the 10 divisions of the New World Order. He will be the head Luciferian and blasphemer of the true God and his only begotten Son, Yeshua. Revelation 13:2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. He will have heraldry with the body of a leopard. His crest, the heraldry on that crest, shows that he has the body of a leopard, the feet of a bear, and the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, throne, and great authority. Of course, this is Satan. And yet, one will see more detail regarding this as one looks at the heraldic symbols, everything that John described about this guy in Revelation 13. You can see it right on his coat of arms, his crest. The red dragon is the symbol of his country, Wales. The red dragon is the symbol on the flag. Look at the flag of Wales. Revelation 13:3, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. He will receive a mortal head wound to set up Satan's greatest lying wonder when he fakes the counterfeit resurrection of the false Messiah, the Antichrist. Revelation 13:5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Power to manipulate the banking, political, and religious rulers of the world will be given to him for 42 months. And this power, during the setting up of the New World Order, will be more effectively exercised from behind the scenes, covertly. It is quite possible that this 42 months, which will be like travail, like far-spaced pains to begin with, gradually increasing in frequency and intensity. If it has begun, we would not likely know it. No more people would know it has begun than those who know the identity of the Antichrist. There are many reasons to indicate that it may have begun quite some time ago. Revelation 13:6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. He will blaspheme God and all those in heaven, which may indicate the strong delusion capabilities which extraterrestrials, which are demon fallen angels, may provide for him. And Revelation 13:18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man, and his number is 666. His name will equal 666, as calculated by the Hebrew gematria, or the Greek gematria, that the Apostle John had used all his life. The calculation of his name by this method that John used will equal 666 in both Hebrew and English. And I believe if it's done properly in the Greek, it will also add up to 666 by that gematria method in the Greek, the three main languages of the Bible. Yes, in English is the main language of the Bible. The seventh purification, the final purification of the King Jesus Version, the KJV, is in English. And when the Messiah came the first time, we had an international language of Greek. And when he comes again, there'll be an international language of English. So there's three Bible languages. His name will mean man. All you got to do is look it up in any onomastics book, and you'll see that Charles means man. Revelation 17:9, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. This is what God showed me in 1993. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are the 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are 7 kings, 5 are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was, and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. The seven heads of the beast indicate his satanic or Luciferian powers over the Pope of Rome. The Pope of Rome will be his puppet as he works covertly. The Pope of Rome will eventually be his false prophet. He will have had five predecessors with his name, Charles, ruling over the Holy Roman Empire. He is the one that is, and he is also the one which is yet to come, indicating that he will be killed, and then he won't be the one that is when he's dead, is he? And when he's resurrected, he'll be the one also, which has not yet come, as Satan tries to counterfeit the greatest miracle of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ by his greatest lying sign and wonder. He is the eighth. If and when he is ever crowned, even if he is never crowned, even if he never becomes king, he is and will be the eighth. He is Charles the Eighth of the Holy Roman Empire line, out of the Habsburg line. The last one was Charles the Seventh. This Charles, out of the Habsburg line, is Charles the Eighth. Even he is the Eighth. That's why neither of his sons, William or Harry, can qualify. It is him. Now remember, brethren, that the Antichrist is just a player. Look at Psalm number 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. He shall have them in derision. See, they are playing right into his plans. Regardless of what they do, they ultimately cannot help but to fulfill that which is written in a more sure word. He knows and has told us. God knows and has told us the end from the beginning. Repent. Repent and return to the Lord. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with thee. Be wise, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Brethren, there's a whole lot more information on the Great Joy and Great Tribulation website about the prince and his genealogy that shows he can trace his lineage all the way back to the tribe of Judah, which shows in detail how everything on his coat of arms is exactly like John described 2,000 years ago on the island of Patmos. It's all there. But the main thing now is for us to press into the mystery of the ages, learning submission to God and repentance, brethren. Examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is www.dccsa, that's David Charlie Charlie Sam Alpha, .com/ Great Joy, all one word, all small letters, GREATJOY. At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up,
for your redemption draweth nigh.